going to ask you to stand. And as you stand, I want to greet you again in the name of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to definitely greet all our visitors and guests. And I won't dare call any names, but also see some other familiar faces I haven't seen in a little while. But it's good to see all of you all here today. It is a blessing. You know, the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We serve a good God, a great God who loves to commune with us, who loves to fellowship with us. So we thank the Lord for this day. Turn either in your Bibles to 1 Peter 4. Also, it's in your bulletin as I continue a couple of sermons before I move into the next series. Going to look at suffering as a Christian a little bit today. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. We read it earlier, but I'm going to read it again. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Peter writes, as the Holy Spirit guides him. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning a fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. I'm going to preach from this thought this morning. The benefits of suffering as a Christian. The benefits of suffering as a Christian. You may be seated. The benefits of suffering as a Christian. And I know that title doesn't just grab all of us. We don't maybe necessarily like to hear it. May not hear many amens today. But there are benefits. Just stick with me this morning for the next 30 or 40 minutes or so. There are benefits of suffering as a Christian. Now, believers, let me just say this on the front end. Believers, followers of Christ, we should expect suffering. And when I mentioned suffering this morning, I'm mentioning it kind of in a broad sense. As I mentioned last week, you know, we talked about some trials and tribulations and a certain type of suffering. We talked about all the hurricanes that were going on, that have been going on. There have been earthquakes. I know it was a serious earthquake in Mexico not long ago. We can look at all the fires and school shootings and gang violence, just on and on and on. That's one type of suffering, if you will. But today we're going to look at a different type of suffering. Today, when we look at suffering, we're going to look at suffering as a Christian. And also today we're going to look at some sufferings like things like maybe the type of suffering you might be going through on your job. Maybe your suffering this morning might be some type of illness or sickness in your body. Maybe your suffering is going through some kind of financial challenge. Maybe your suffering is going through some kind of marital challenge or some other relationship challenge. Or maybe your suffering is the fact that you are ostracized, maybe at school, maybe on your job, somewhat ostracized just because you are taking a stand for Christ. So those are some of the type of trials and tribulations and sufferings that the text and that we're going to deal with this morning. Those types of suffering. And as you go through sufferings for a Christian, remember to exult, E-X-U-L-T, to exult in your sufferings. Like even in the midst of suffering, you and I can think of some reason that we still should praise God. Even in the midst of our trials. So we still need to exult in our suffering. And as we go through suffering, these are some E's, we need to evaluate our suffering. In other words, not so much always ask, why am I going through this, Lord? But maybe ask what? What are you trying to teach me, dear Lord? What adjustments do I need to make in my Christian walk? What are you teaching me, dear God? So evaluate your sufferings. And also, listen, this is the most important one. Entrust your sufferings to the Lord. Entrust your sufferings to the Lord. Whatever you're going through, entrust them to the Lord. Evaluate them, but entrust them to the Lord and exalt or praise the Lord even in the midst of suffering. Now, Peter is rewriting this to the Christians who were going through suffering during this time. They were going through tough times simply because they were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can anybody relate? They were going through suffering just because of being a Christian. I know here in America, we don't go through a whole lot of suffering because of being a Christian. But in other parts of the country, I'm sure you all know because I often mention it, there are followers of Christ who lose their life just because they follow Christ. I mean, people are literally getting killed for following Jesus Christ, especially if they're in some of the Muslim countries and places that they just don't like Christians. And so Peter is writing this letter to encourage the various Christians who had been scattered abroad. They were going through persecution, mainly from the Roman government, mainly from Emperor Nero. But they were going through all types of crazy stuff. I mean, this leader, at one time, history kind of tells that he would actually even take Christians and burn Christians and use them to light the way to his palace. They would do things like putting Christians inside of some animal skins and then feed them, of course, to the lions and things like that. I mean, the Christians during this day and time were going through some tough times. So Peter, as the Holy Spirit led him, said, I'm going to write this letter to try to kind of encourage him to hang on in there. So even this morning, I want to encourage you, whatever you might be going through as a Christian, just hang on in there. Just hang on in there. Peter, in chapter 1 of this book, quick overview, he lets these saints know, he lets these followers of Christ know that they have an incorruptible inheritance reserved for them in heaven. He lets them know that. And guess what? For those of us who are followers of Christ, we too have an inheritance waiting for us in glory. That ought to give you some excitement right there. We got some rewards waiting for us in glory. Brother Peter also let those believers know and lets us know this morning that we are of a chosen generation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a nation, God's own special people. If you've given your life to Christ, you are God's own special person. Christ has purchased you with his shed blood on Calvary's cross. So you might not be in a certain clique on your job or in school, but if you're in God's clique, if you're in God's family, you are right. You're in the best clique. You're in the best family if you're in God's family. Peter also let them know that the job description of a Christian is we're going to endure some suffering. Think about it. Our leader, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he suffered. He died for our sins. He died on Calvary's cross. He suffered. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ, he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Jesus himself said in this world, you will have trouble. Not you might or maybe. He said, you will have trouble. But then he said, take courage, for I've overcome the world. He said, you're going to have some trouble, but just hang with me. I'll show you how to get through the trouble. I'll show you how to persevere. I'll show you how to overcome because I've overcome. So Jesus says that in verse 12 of 1 Peter 4, says a very similar thing. He said, beloved, a very endearing phrase, fellow Christian, fellow follower of Christ, beloved, do not think it strange, verse 12 of 1 Peter 4, concerning a fiery trial, which is to try you, one translation says, which is to test you, as though some strange thing happened to you. So don't think it's strange when you go through various trials and tribulations and sufferings because of Christ. Don't think it's strange. Matter of fact, verse 13 said rejoice when that happens. Rejoice when it happens. And like I said, as we go through this message today, I'm going to give you a few reasons. This is not an exhaustive list by any means, but a few things that God is doing in your life and in my life as we go through suffering. One of the benefits of suffering is, you might want to write this down. One of the benefits of suffering is, as a Christian, it separates the wheat from the chaff. In other words, it separates the true saint from the faker. It separates the true saint from the faker. It separates the sheep from the goats. That's one thing that happens when you go through testing, when you go through trials, when you go through sufferings. Because verse 12, once again, it says, as you go through these things, these trials are coming up on you to test you or to try you. See, when persecution comes, the perpetrator, as a Christian, the perpetrator, traitor, the faker, or the Judas, if you will, they're going to leave. They're going to say, man, this following Christ stuff costs too much. This stuff that I'm going through because I say I'm a Christian, this is costing too much. So the Judas of the world, he's going to fall out. But the true and legit follower of Christ, they're going to hang in there. You might say, why? How? Well, God's Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. And so he's told us that we're going to persevere until the end. He told us he would never leave us nor forsake us. So the genuine follower of Christ will persevere on to the end. John said it this way. John said, the paraphrase, he said, there were some with them, but they left them and never came back to them. So John basically said, well, those who was with us but left us and never came back to us, they never really were of us in the first place. I believe in the eternal security of the believer. I believe in the Christian. He who has begun a good work in us, he's going to complete it. So if you're in Christ, if he's in you, you're going to persevere on to the end. So sometimes suffering oftentimes is going to separate the wheat from the chaff. Does that make sense? So one reason we go through suffering is to get the fakers out of the way. Another reason, verse 13 says, rejoice, be exceedingly joyful. When you go through trials and go through suffering because of Christ, rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. He mentions joy two times in that verse. Rejoice and you should have exceeding joy. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 helps us out here. It says, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It's my second point this morning. One of the benefits of going through suffering, it develops Christ-like character in you. When you and I go through suffering, it develops Christ-like character in us. When you go through the crucible of a crisis, when you go through the tough times of life, it kind of squeezes you and it begins to develop more godly characteristics in you. James said one of the things that produces in us is patience. Now you all know, let's be honest. As a Christian, if we never had any hard times, if we've never had any trouble, we would kind of get at ease in Zion. But a true follower of Christ, when you fall into tough times, you know to call on the Lord. You know to call on the name of Jesus when things get tough. Now, sometimes when things are just easy, I mean, we're thankful, we're grateful. But when things are just easy all the time, I don't know about you. When things are just all just going perfect, I don't pray like I normally should be praying. But let a little trouble come. Let a little tough time go. I'm going to call on, Lord, it's me again. I'm calling on the name of the Lord. So one of the things, my brothers and sisters, when we go through suffering, it develops Christ-like character in us. Strengthens our faith. Verse 14 says, also verse 13, God doesn't waste any suffering on us. So also even going through suffering, it helps us to show off his glory. It helps us to show off the glory of God, the glory of Christ. When you go through certain trials and tribulations on account of Christ, on your job, in your home, even here at church or wherever you are, the way, if we handle it in such a way, in a Christ-like way, that's gonna give glory to God. People are going to say, man, how are you holding up in that situation? How are you handling that? So it's the Lord. It's Jesus. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. In verse 14, I'm not going to keep you long this morning. Verse 14 says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, if people are coming against you because of the name of Christ, what's that next word? Blessed are you. We just sang about blessing in a couple of songs. People don't often think about suffering as being a blessing. But the Lord said, if people reproach you or come against you because of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part that he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. So if people are coming against you because you take a stand for Christ, you are blessed. Jesus said it this way. We read it earlier. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, listen, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. Don't miss that part. Sometimes people say evil against us and it's the truth. There ain't no blessing in that. But Jesus said when they say all kinds of stuff against you falsely, when they lying on you, doing it for my sake, he said rejoice and be exceedingly glad. for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So once again, when you suffer as a Christian, Jesus said, rejoice. He says, rejoice. So another benefit of suffering as a Christian, because in this verse 14, if you still have your Bibles open or see it there in your bulletin, it says when we are going through tough times, we are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. So as you and I go through sufferings, here's another benefit from suffering. It enables us to experience our God in a deeper way. It enables us, when we go through suffering, it enables us to experience God, to experience Jesus, to experience the Holy Spirit in a deeper way. That verse says, the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. So as you go through tough times, you experience God in a way that you haven't maybe experienced him before. Listen to this. It's pretty simple. If you never had a burden, how would you know that he's a burden bearer and a heavy load sharer? If you never needed to have a way made out of a no way, how would you know he couldn't make a way out of no way unless you needed that done for you one day? If you never had a problem, how would you know him to be a problem solver? So when we go through these things, the Bible says the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. So as a Christian, the Holy Spirit is in us, right? It's just theology 101. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit of God is in you. But during suffering, listen to this. During suffering, this word rest in this verse means during suffering, you might want to write this down. He gives us supernatural relief. He gives us supernatural relief during this time of suffering. This word rest, once again, means to give release, give our relief. The Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. This word rest means that he gives us relief. He gives us refreshment. He gives us an intermission from our toil and troubles. This word rest, once again, means that the Holy Spirit of God gives us relief. He gives us refreshment. And he gives us intermission. You know, intermission is a break, right? Kind of like halftime. He gives us intermission from our toil. So even in the midst of your trials and suffering, God gives us an intermission that we might can kind of, you know, go over some stuff and make some adjustments in the midst of our sufferings and trials. He gives us an intermission, a halftime. I'm a big college football fan, and typically during, you know, when you have halftime, you get a break, you get a little rest, you get water and Gatorade and all that stuff. You make some adjustments. Well, I happened to be watching the UT football game yesterday, and if any of y'all saw that game, I'm not just picking on Tennessee, but obviously at halftime, they didn't make the adjustment of telling their secondary people, don't let anybody get behind you when you're ready to throw a pass, because if you saw that game, and the very last play of that game, Florida threw it 60-something yards and scored a touchdown the last play of the game, and so Tennessee went through some unnecessary suffering because they didn't make a halftime adjustment. And I believe that alone. But God gives us an opportunity to make some adjustments. So in the midst of your suffering, make some adjustments in that intermission time. May hurt to help to alleviate some later on suffering. So when we go through suffering, though, we do. The Holy Spirit of God, the power of God. I should have a couple of witnesses here. If you look back over your life, your Christian life, some of your toughest moments, some of your darkest hours, you experience the power of God as never before. That's what that verse really means. The power, the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. So whatever suffering you're dealing with now, whatever trial you're dealing with now, God gives you the grace to make it through there. I said, God gives you the grace to make it through that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm going to mention that again in a minute, but God does give us the grace. So once again, some of the benefits of suffering, it separates the wheat from the chaff. It separates the true believer from the fake, the benefits of suffering. Also, God develops Christ-like characteristics in us that typically if we weren't going through a certain trial may not even get developed in us. Then also thirdly, as we go through suffering, God enables us during that time of suffering to experience him in a way that we normally might not experience him. Does that make sense? So there are benefits to suffering. In verse 15 says, but let none of you, because we're talking about suffering as a Christian, But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. A busybody in other people's matters. So, saints, let's be honest. Some of the suffering that you and I deal with has been bought on by our own sinful actions. And we like to blame God for it. For instance, give you a good example. I mentioned my mother's family quite a bit, a big family, a lot, about 12 siblings, and most of my uncles were alcoholics. So at the age of 38, I remember I was 12 or 13 years old. I should never forget this. And even then at 12 or 13, you know, 38 seems kind of old, but that's really young now. But, you know, I was like, man, that's kind of young to be dying. So my young uncle at the age of 38 died with cirrhosis of the liver because of his drinking habit. Now, he couldn't be laying there on his deathbed talking about, I'm suffering for Christ. I'm suffering. No, you're suffering, brother, because you drank all your life. That's why you're suffering. So that's what this verse is saying. Don't suffer as a murderer. Don't suffer. Somebody already said, well, I've never murdered anybody. Well, Jesus would say it this way. Jesus, if you have hatred or unforgiveness in your heart, it's as if you already killed or murdered someone. So listen. There is no great value in suffering for being a fool. No great value in that. You know, suffering because you were hard-headed and disobedient. You know, God told you to go left and you went right. There's no great benefit. There's no great benefit of suffering as a fool. There's no great benefit when you suffer because you did your own stuff. You know, you reap what you sow, the Bible says. You know, so the first person says, so don't steal, don't do evil. And then it mentions another thing that don't suffer on because of this. So don't be a busybody. A busybody. Even that word sounds busybody in other people matters. Just nosy, just all up in other folks' stuff. one translator said, troublesome meddler. That's what one translator said. You know, sometimes we categorize sin with a murder and right there stealing. But we don't think about being nosy, being a meddler, a busybody. So the Lord said, don't be suffering because of this stuff, these types of sins. Don't be suffering because of that. No great value in suffering because of that. You know, sin, beloved, God is a God who's gracious. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But all of us can testify our sin has some consequences. It leaves some residue. Sometimes stuff you could have done years ago and God has forgiven you for it. You've been forgiven, but you're still suffering some of the consequences. So Peter is saying, don't suffer because of this stuff. But then verse 16, he says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. So again, if you're suffering because of your own disobedience, because of sin, that's on you. But if you're suffering, though, because of your faith in Christ, if you're suffering because of following Christ, do not be ashamed, the Bible says. As a matter of fact, glorify God in this matter. Exalt God in this matter. Let the light of Christ shine through you as you go through suffering as a Christian. You know, we're called to be salt and light, right? So one of the ways we let our light shine is the way we handle adversity, the way we handle suffering, the way we handle trials. We should handle those things different from the world. We shouldn't get all, I know it happens sometimes, but we shouldn't get all worried and stressed out if you're on your job and they're going to lay off folks. You shouldn't be stressed out like the average unsaved person, like the average pagan. You should be like, well, I like this job, I want to keep this job, but if I lose this job, the Lord give it and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And guess what? He is my provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. He'll provide me with another job. Perhaps even a better job. Maybe an easier job. Maybe a job to pay more money. I don't know. But God would handle, he would work out this situation. Because he gave me this job in the first place. So don't be stressing out and tripping like the other people, you know. So in the midst of this, Peter says, still glorify God. Don't be ashamed. Still glorify God. You know, think about this. As you and I go through things as a Christian, God, again, gives us sufficient grace. See, I can't sit here this morning and tell you, well, whatever you're suffering through, whatever you're going through, God just takes it away. No, I'm not saying that. God doesn't always do that. But I'm saying whatever you're going through, see a glorified God. In the midst of problems on your job, still glorify God. In the midst of problems in your family, still glorify God. In the midst of financial woes, still glorify God. In the midst of a medical illness or something, still glorify God. In the midst of being ostracized because of your Christian faith, still glorify God. Whatever you're going through, by the power of God, still glorify God. Still show him off. And then ask the Lord, give me some strength to glorify you today. I don't really feel like boasting in this particular thing, but give me some strength to handle this situation today. And he will give you the hint. He will give you the help. He will. I'm not just saying what I've read. I'm saying what I've read, but I'm also saying what I've experienced. He will give you the grace to make it through that situation. Ask the Apostle Paul. If I called him up this morning, I think he would tell you when he had the thorn in the flesh, he prayed fervently 3 times. Well, let me just jump on to somebody else even much greater than Paul. Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, if there's any way for this cup to pass me, please let it pass. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And God gave him the power and the grace to go on to Calvary's cross to die for you and me. And of course, he rose again with all power in his hands. Paul, he prayed 3 times that the thorn would be removed from his flesh. He said, Lord, we don't know what that thorn was, but it was something that was plaguing Paul. Paul said, Lord, please remove it. He prayed not once, not twice, but 3 times. And God said, no, I'm not going to remove it. I'm not going to remove it, Paul. But guess what, Paul? My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. I'm going to help you to deal with it. I'm sure that thorn kind of helped to keep Paul a little humble. Paul, that basically God had given this incredible vision of heaven. So God said, my grace is sufficient. You know, all of us probably got some kind of thorn in the flesh. Something that God uses to kind of keep us humble, to keep us closer to him. You know, for about 20 years or so now, I've been dealing with a thorn in the flesh. But by God's grace, his grace is sufficient, I'm able to deal with it. Because his grace is sufficient. During tough times, times of trials and tribulation, God's grace is sufficient. I should be able to get a few witnesses right there. God's grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. His power is perfected through our weakness. So whatever you're going through, child of God, God has sufficient grace. If you're going through a purple trial, watch this. He got purple grace. If you're going through a red trial, a red suffering, he got red grace. If you're going through blue suffering, blue trials, he got some blue grace. If you're going through green suffering, green trial, he got some green grace. If you're going through black suffering and black trial, he got some black grace. If you're going through white suffering, y'all get the point. Whatever you're going through, I'm saying God has sufficient grace to get us through those sufferings. Whatever they might be. And once again, as you're going through those things, remember, he's sifting out unbelievers. He's separating out the fakers for the real people. And then also he's developing Christ-like character in your life and in my life. And also he's enabling us to experience him in a way that we normally would not experience him. Also, as we go through these trials and sufferings, it enables us to glorify him, to show him off, to boast in him. Again, this is not an exhaustive list. You know, weeping may endure for a night. But joy comes in the morning. And let me say this. We don't really know when morning is. Morning might not be Monday morning. It might be Tuesday morning. It might be next week, next year. We don't know when morning is, but I will say this. Joy does come in the morning. What you are going through, what I'm going through, whatever suffering, whatever trials we're dealing with, watch this. It does have an expiration date. Oh, y'all missed that. It does have an expiration date. This too shall pass. It might be until I get the glory, but this too shall pass. But until I get the glory, I got grace and I got power. I got the Spirit of God, the Spirit of glory resting upon us, and we can make it through it. We can deal with it. As followers of Christ, our suffering comes from men, whereas our glory comes from God. Our suffering is earthly, but our glory is heavenly. Our suffering is short, but our glory is forever. Our suffering is trivial, but our glory is limitless. Our suffering is in our mortal and corrupted bodies, but our glory will be in our perfected and imperishable bodies. This too shall pass. Let me finish with 1 Peter chapter 5. If you have your Bibles open, 1 Peter chapter 5, mainly looking at verse 10. But I want to start up at verse 6. I'm just going to kind of read this because this is a whole sermon in and of itself. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 6. Once again, this is an encouraging word for the saint who's suffering for following Christ. And once again, our suffering here in America for following Christ, it's usually kind of minimal. It's not major compared to some other places, but we still go through things from the culture just because we follow Christ. But also, just as a Christian, God allows certain things just to come into our life. Listen to what this says. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Listen to this. Probably you've heard some things I've said this morning, but if nothing else, you need to hold on to this verse right here. Casting some of your cares. Your Bible said all. Casting all, Sister Cousin, casting all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Sister Terman, we have a God who cares for us. He's not saying, well, you're just going through suffering. Oh, you know, you just handle it the best way you can. No, God cares for us. So he said, bring all of your cares to me because I care for you. Isn't that a good God? Isn't that a good God? Say, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So also, saints, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, don't forget the adversary, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And just think about God's grace. He protects us from the evil one. He protects us from the devil. If not, we wouldn't even be able to make it out of here. We see what happened even with Job when God gave the devil a little rain, if you will. All kind of stuff happened in Job's life. So thank God that he restrains evil. Thank God that he has a devil. The devil is still God's devil. He's on a little leash. He can only do what God allows him to do. So that's going to make the devil too big, bigger than what he really is. But he is our enemy. He's our adversary. Resist him, verse 9 says, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood or your brethren in the world. When you're going through something, there are other saints, we're all going through something. But this is the verse I want to really focus on, verse 10. But may the God of all grace, let me just camp there for a minute. We serve the God of all grace. I just told you about how God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. We serve the God, Brother Sidney, of all grace. I say he's the God of all grace. I'm just going to say that until I get happy. He's the God of all grace. The Father of all mercies, 2 Corinthians 1 tells us. He's the God of all grace who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. I'm going to stop there just for a minute. I can't just rush over that. If you're saved today, you're saved because God called you. If you're born again today, you're born again because God himself, Jesus himself, ran you down and called you. We were drawn by his loving kindness. We were doing our own thing. I think Minister Terman prayed that earlier. We were doing our own thing, enjoying our sinful selves, doing our own little thing. And God himself called us, convicted our hearts and minds. We begin to kind of detest sin and say, I don't need to be living in all this sin. I want to live differently. I want to go another way. There's got to be something better than this. God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Pull you up out of the gutter. Pull you out of the club. Pull you out of wherever you were and called you to himself. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. I'm glad our God is an evangelistic God. Guys, I'm going to draw people from all tribes, all nations, all tongues. I'm going to pull people to myself. I'm glad God tracked me down. And in my life, one of the ways he did that, he was speaking softly. I grew up in the church and got saved as an adult, though. He was speaking softly, but he began to let some other stuff come into my life that got my attention. So I thank God for suffering. I was suffering as a sinner then, but I thank God for suffering. I thank God for the head-on car collision he let me get in, and it dawned on me, if I'd have died in that car, right over on 3rd Street on the Viaduct, if I'd have died in that car accident, I knew I would go to hell. So I thank God he allowed some stuff to come in my mind to get my attention. I don't know if y'all hear me or not, but I thank God that he let some stuff come in my life to get my attention. So he called us He called us with an irresistible call. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I thank God for him calling us, choosing us. Thank God for loving us so much. He demonstrated his own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not go to hell, but shall have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through, or to condemn the world, but the world through Jesus might be saved. So he did not send his son into this world to condemn or to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God called us to his eternal glory by or through Christ Jesus. This is to the saint. This is to the Christian. Listen, after you have suffered a while. One translation says, after you have suffered a little while. Look at what he's doing to us while we're suffering. Sister Leah, look at what he's doing to us. He will perfect us. He will establish us. He will strengthen us and settle us. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So while you are suffering, I told you that was an exhaustive list that I gave you before. Here are some other things that you and I get while we are going through suffering as a Christian. The Lord is perfecting us. He's getting impurities out of us. He's taking out that unforgiveness and putting in some forgiveness. He's taking out the hatred and putting in some love. He's taking out the worry and stress and putting in some peace and joy. He's perfecting us. We're still on a potter's wheel. We're just like a lump of clay on the potter's wheel. He's molding us. He's perfecting us. And he uses suffering to often bring those things to pass. Also, perfects us, really means bring us to wholeness. Also, he establishes us. The imagery there is he lays a solid foundation. Again, saints, if you never went through anything, if you never experienced any suffering, you would know God in a very shallow way. But as a follower of Christ, we're going to go through some stuff. And it's good to look back historically every now and then and say, I don't know how I got over. I don't know how I made it through that trial. I don't know how I made it through that suffering, except the Lord brought me through. I can't really explain it. I think that was Mahalia Jackson saying the song. I don't know how I got over. I know who got me over, but I don't know how I got over. Brother Daniel, I don't know how I got over, but I know who brought me over. So he perfects us, he establishes us, but also he strengthens us. You know, our faith has to be strengthened. You have to put your faith to the test. You got to, beloved, we don't love it, but we had to go through some stuff. You know, Jesus once again says, count it all joy, count it a joy. You know, rejoice when people say things against you falsely because of him. He strengthens us, makes us sturdy. You know, when you're building a building, you need a solid foundation. So as a Christian, you got to make sure your foundation is solid. Who is our foundation? I'm glad you asked. Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. So you got to make sure you're connected to him. He is sturdy. He is true. So you got to make sure you're connected to him. Then also he says in this verse, and I'm through, says also as we go through sufferings, the Lord, after we suffered a little while, he perfects us, he establishes us, he strengthens us, and then he settles you, he settles us. One translation, he confirms us. So the benefits of suffering. There are many benefits to suffering as a Christian. So once again, as we go through them, we got to learn how to glorify and exalt in Christ, even as we go through suffering. When we're going through suffering, we got to learn how to evaluate the suffering. Lord, what are you teaching me? What are you doing in my life as I go through this trial, this tribulation, this suffering? What are you doing in my life? But then also we got to learn how to entrust the suffering to the Lord. So Lord, I don't know why. I don't understand it. But I know you're in control of all things. So I know everything that happens in my life is Romans 8:28 from last week. For we know that God causes all things to work together for the good for those who love God, those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Lord, I don't really see the good, but I know it's working together for the good. I know this suffering I'm going through. You're doing some things in my life that's going to be bring you glory and also ultimately going to be a blessing to me. So the benefits of suffering. As a Christian. Father, we thank you for the benefits.